Good morning. This is Jim and Pat Sanders for Farm and Country, and our program is For the Birds. A few years ago in Portland, Oregon, we joined hundreds of other curious people and sat on a hillside above the abandoned Chapman School, which has a tall brick smokestack, and we watched an estimated 40,000 Vaux's swifts swirl around the smokestack, and as the evening progressed, they entered the stack to roost for the night. They were migrating, and that was an annual spectacle that has been witnessed by thousands of people over the years. That migration stopover has been known and used by the swifts for many years and has become famous for observing them. The Vaux's swift is found in the west, but in the east we have the chimney swift, and both nest and roost in cavities with a vertical entry, like hollow trees or chimneys. The communal roosting helps them preserve body heat and helps them survive cold nights.
Swifts are actually related to hummingbirds with similar wing structure, but the similarity seems to end there, as swifts have short bills with wide mouths and short stubby bodies with wings that are adapted to keep the bird airborne constantly. The pointed head and tail of the Vaux's and chimney swifts have earned them the name flying cigar. They never perch. They're actually unable to perch. So they feed, drink, and mate while flying. And when they come into roost for the night, they cling to concealed vertical walls inside chimneys, hollow trees, or cliff crevices. They even bathe in flight, gliding down to the surface of the water, splashing down, then up again, shaking water from their feathers as they fly. Chimney swifts used to roost and nest mainly in hollow trees, but once man began to build chimneys, they adapted to this structure perfectly. They have the ability to fly down a narrow vertical tube, hover at will, and cling to the vertical surface with their claws and tail spikes. These are needle-like bristles that stick out from the end of their tail feathers and are an adaptation that enables the bird to cling to and roost on vertical walls.
After seeing the swifts in Portland, we failed to see a single one until this summer, when a friend who is a more experienced birder spotted several of them flying above our yard. We had assumed they were swallows, but when we took a closer look, we saw their cigar-shaped body and short stubby tail, unlike the forked tail of the swallow, and it was immediately clear that they were flying with more frantic wing beats and never sailing as swallows do. We were delighted to see that they're here, and now we're wondering if we should build a chimney swift tower for them. Only one nest will be built in a given chimney, and with the decline in the number of suitable chimneys, the chimney swift populations have also declined. Chimney swifts build one nest per chimney or hollow tree, and gather nesting material by grabbing dead and dried twigs with their claws while flying, then sticking them to the wall of the chimney with their saliva, which acts as a strong glue. The saucer-shaped nest is ready in about 2 weeks. After the eggs hatch, the chicks are fed on the nest by the parents who fly down the chimney for this task. They outgrow their nest within 2 weeks, however, sometimes even before their eyes open, and they must cling to the sides of the chimney and are fed there. However, when the chicks are nearing their time to fly, they climb up the chimney using their long claws and tail spikes and are fed at the top until they're ready to fly on their own.
Chimney swifts feed almost exclusively on insects, scooping up small ones with their wide mouths and grabbing the larger ones with their beaks. They eat a huge variety, including flies, bugs, bees, wasps, ants, mayflies, stoneflies, beetles, caddisflies, fleas, and other insects. They can also pick insects from branch tips, and they can helicopter down through the foliage to flush out prey. These birds are unusual and fascinating, and much more could be said about them. However, we'll leave you with the simple wish that you are able to see them and appreciate their flight and their beneficial presence. We hope you've enjoyed this week's segment. If you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for future programs, you can email us at forthebirds at farmandcountry.org. This has been Pat and Jim Sanders of the Northeast Pennsylvania Audubon Society, and we're For the Birds.